We're dogs. Hairdressers, makeup artists, nail technicians, beauticians, we're dogs.
But how are the college, how are these courses still being paid for?
Because it's an easy way, it's free. It's free to these people.
But the barber shops that I'm speaking to, one in five are maybe running apprentices, if that. You know, they're not training. So how do we get that quality back?
You know, something has to give, because it's getting ridiculous.
There needs to be some resistance on the amount that can open. There needs to be some kind of, like, if you want to learn how to drive, then you've got to do some kind of test. You've got to go through this process.
I think you should have to be able to prove that you can be solvent.
And I think Turkish barbers get a bad rap.
The Turkish barbers are fucking good.
Fucking brilliant. They're really good.
Authentic Turkish barbers are some of the best barbers you'll ever see. Again, it's the people trading off the name.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi. Welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. I'm Anthony Laban. We're here for part two of our business talk with Alan Beek and Johnny Barber. I hope you all watched part one. We certainly covered business, I hope, fairly well. I want to talk a little bit more about the fact that you two are proper influences, in the proper sense of the word, real influences. You have a properly powerful influence over the industry, and have had, whether it's loved or loathed, you have that presence, you have that ability, and with that comes your mentoring and education and training and learning. And maybe the word influencer, I've used it on purpose because it means something else, I think, now, and probably not something you would think of using biogs, but you have influence.
I can't imagine Johnny doing TikTok dance crazes, and that's how he made his name big, just by doing the dances. On TikTok.
But yeah, bad influence, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I think you know.
But how important is that to you? That the training and the quality that your power, your influence, what you can do in the shops. I'm not talking about the social media influence. I'm talking about the actual influence you have day to day with your team, with staff members, with new people, with the industry.
I think that's one of the best things you just said there. It's not so much social media influencer. It's an influencer within either your community or an influencer within your shop. And
it's a really good place to be. And I don't want, I've used it not meaning to make you upset. I really mean it in a respectful way. You have that influence, both of you.
It's very complimentary. If someone says that you're an influencer, then of course it means that other people are influenced by you and you influence them because you're doing something right, or you've made right choices, or you've made mistakes, you've aired them, you've showed people that you're a fucking human being. Mm. You're like, I'm not shy about saying that I have ups and I have downs, and I will tell people that my mental health has been shit, but then it's been great. I used to do like an inspiration page, did it through lockdown. I was in a great place. I declare what I earn. So Boris paid me to be off work. I spent it with my children. I would go and do bits of studio work with Reese. I would train with Reese. We had a great time. I was happy as during that time. Okay. It pinched a little bit at first, like it did with everyone. But then that was a different kind of influencer. That was like a mental health coach. And then when it comes to working now on a brand or working in the shop, cutting hair, working with products, or just being a inspiration for other, or a motivation for other people to, if you're tired of cutting hair, and you know, when people say, I don't want to be cutting hair, I don't want to stand behind the chair all day long, then make a linear move. Do something else. Mm. Do something within your industry. Do something within your trade. But, you know, learn how to present on stage. Become a presenter. Learn how to represent another brand and work with another brand. Affiliate yourself with someone and do it. But, yeah, being called an influencer is, I think, a massive, massive compliment. But the influencer that people know is that tit on stage with massive... Oh, I'm going to say big turkey teeth and hair transplants. But the thing is, I know people that have had hair transplants and that have got the teeth and they're not tits, but I'm saying that you can just imagine what people's ideology of an influencer is.
Yeah.
And it's literally, you know, bright light. You can see the ring in their eyes, like, hi, guys. This is what we're going to do today. Like, and you know what? If that works for you, that works for you.
You've done well there.
I know.
So I always believed you.
You know, I try not to be the kind of very normal, conform to kind of the way that an influencer should be. Mm. And I know full well that Johnny's not that kind of person. Mm. Johnny goes about his day-to-day life, as I do. We run companies. We do R&D on whether it's the shop or whether it's the product company. We've done education. We teach our staff, you know, morally, ethically, physically. We provide them with tools, again, physical tools, the mental tools of how to provide a very good service and to be brilliant at what you do and enjoy it. And if that's what an influencer is, then I'll be one.
Mm. Well, influencer, it's a big word. But look, the thing is, like, I've come from a different place. Do you know what I mean? I've always seen this as a trade, you know, and I think I've seen it as a bit of a show. Do you know what I mean? I think you have to put on a show for it. But I see the show as a customer. I think, do you remember Herbert Howard at all?
Yeah.
From Liverpool. Like, he always, like, I remember when I first opened in Liverpool, he came to see me, right? And I remember watching him on TV when I was a kid. And he had this thing. He was a character with himself. He never really did much in the industry, Herbert, no. Right? But he, you know, he was this like 8-year-old man with a permatan and a bleached blonde hair, and he drove around a pink Rolls Royce.
Yep.
It's fucking class.
He was calling
the Bling King. I remember when he first walked into the shop in Liverpool and he floated in the door, like, you know what I mean? I was like, wow, Herbert, like, you know, and he came over and he shook my hand. He goes, oh, I think you know what you're doing is great. And, you know, he was so nice. And he actually spoke to Anne Herman about me, and Anne Herman rang me then. That's how I got involved with the Fellowship. You know, and it was like when somebody like that, and like, I always looked at him and Lee Stafford. They were my two mm-hmm. guys that I looked at going, fuck me, these guys have made it.
You couldn't right? have got two more diametrically opposed people.
Well, not really,
tried,
you know.
Really.
Like, if you think about it,
yeah.
They were both showmen. You know what I mean?
They're yep.
both,
yeah, yeah,
both, Lee's a fantastic
both,
showman.
Both strong characters.
Yep.
And both absolutely fucking nails at what they do. You see, yeah. I think the problem with influencers now is, like, there's a lot of them. They're not really the full package. You know what I mean? And I think that all goes back down to where we're talking about apprenticeships. And I think if the apprenticeships were stronger and if people were more realistic about where they have to get to in order to open a shop or have a full column, I hate the word column anymore. Like,
yeah,
I wish we could go back to walk-in barbershops. That's what I miss. Mm-hmm. I miss it more than anything. But if we could do that, then you would find that the educators would have to be a lot better. You think about it, right? The amount of educators out there that, let's face it, we probably wouldn't even employ them because they're not strong.
Yeah.
They think they are, right? But like, to me, when I hear educator, right, I immediately think of Gail Ted Watkins, Josh Monica, Jean-Baptiste Mazzella, Robert Massiev, Lee Stafford. You know, there's quite a few, like Dove Palmer, you know, like, but in the men's world, the only one who I would probably say Charlie Cullen, Josh and Monica, Dale.
Dale's been doing it for, I mean, the only person that I watched digitally years and years ago that had anything online was Dale.
Yeah, but he's the best. You talk about anyone, right? He's the best of the best, yeah. Right? There's no one better than him. And that's my opinion. Again, that's the taste level I go for. But when it comes down to somebody who understands hair and what it does after the fact, as in like what it does after it's been cut, nobody understands it more than him, right?
But you both run your apprentices, don't you? You both train people from scratch.
Yeah.
They work in shops. They work in the shop. They're employed by you.
Yeah.
You get them from sweeping the floor to running a chair.
I'm not training someone just to cut hair and bringing me the rent. I'm training them to be able to look after the shop if I'm not there. I'm training them to take over my role when I'm in another country or I'm away with my children, or thank the Lord the day that I start dropping days and don't work a full time. And we've only taken on a couple of people that were based in other shops, but they were very early in the career. Look at Danielle. Danielle was working, I was her tutor in college when I was an educator in a college. And I left the college because the standard of learning and the evidence of learning was quite little, even though I had a curriculum, I had units to do. And for the first year, it was great. I just was in there. I was did my qualifications. I thought it was fantastic. And there was a big number of people in that very first class that went on to own their own barbershops, who I speak to this day. Second year, I wanted to change the curriculum a little bit. I wanted to take some things out, add some things in, and my standards went high. I had that success in that first year. I wanted them to be brilliant. I wanted everyone to do well. In a community college, that doesn't happen. You've just got to get them there. Yep. You've got to pass them. Doesn't matter what they do. If they've not done that unit, cross-reference it on this bit. If they've not done a tapered edge or a tapered neck, then just cross-reference it with the round one because they probably can do it. Like, well, not people don't have round necks. If they've done the square neck, then just they'd be able to round it off. Well, they wouldn't because they've not shown me. There's no evidence of that. So my success rate in the second year was a lot lower, but the standard was a lot higher. Year three, I decided that I got told that I had to go back to the way that we did it originally. And he could see that the success rate was going to be a lot higher. People were going to pass, but the standard was
That's the funding. You get the funding then, you see. Mm. But this it goes down to like the courses now, they're not fit for purpose, right?
But this is all down to the funding, you think?
It's down to funding. Of course it is. They have to get money in. And if you're not passing, then, you know, some fucker at the top is going to go, that's not worth our time.
Still
not
making
any money. Mm. Everything is a business, Anthony. Everything is a business. But like, we have to be allowed to run our business as a business, which means it has to fucking pay us, right? At the moment, that new budget is making it harder and harder to fucking keep people in gainful employment, as you know, right? So like you said, my barbers are self-employed, my apprentices are employed. But even at that fucking stretches us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as I said to you before, like if they were more strict on operators, do you know what I mean? Like, we talk about this VAT threshold. Don't get me started on it. Do you know what I mean? Everyone fucking hits VAT, whether they declare or not. If you don't, you shouldn't be in the business, right? End of story. But, you know, when it comes to getting a guy in, and you talk about why we do the apprenticeships, because you get to grow your little seedling, right? And you get to grow him in a way that we get apprentices in all the time, the last 6 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they're not for us. As in, like, we don't align with what they want as to be a barber, or we don't align with them, or they don't align with us, sorry.
Yeah.
We get other guys who are still with us 10 years later. We have other guys like the likes of Harry, Richie, Joe, like all lads who were with us before, they all have their own shops. Mm. Fucking great shops.
But are you hands-on with your apprentices, or have you got trainers in your store?
Hands-on.
They're trained by you guys, and that's it.
I do what I can do when I can do it, right? So I'm here on a Monday, so I do my little block work with the little boy you saw tonight. Yep. He's a great little lad.
Hey, you know what? And I noticed that. And I'm so observant when I go into the shops. Mm. He's so in tune with, like, we always say, like, when you are cutting hair, your tools, your scissors, your comb should be another part of your body. It should be a limb. Mm. And that's what we're like. I watched him with his brush, spinning it round. And he wasn't being flashy. He was just confident with it. And I thought,
he's class.
He's mint. Yeah. I watched him before. And I thought he's
like
great.
Harry was like that. Like, I had Harry since he was 14, right? Yeah. And then he was a Saturday boy with us. And then he went off to Spain. He came back. Then he opened. He's got a place in Ramsbottom. He's fucking killing it out there, right? Mm. I had another lad down in Liverpool. Richie was his name. He was the best, probably the fastest learner I've ever seen in my life. And I had nothing to do with him. Josh trained him himself, right? I had nothing to do with Richie. I think he came to the academy maybe twice when I had the academy. That was it. But Josh did everything with him. But he was one of these fellas, you fucking tell him he does it, tell him he does it. He just had that.
Yeah.
He had the hard skills easy. He's a scouser, so he had natural soft skills, right? So like that came to him. The soft skills came to him like a piece of piss, right? But this kid, right? I never in my life saw somebody pick something up so quick, right? He stayed with us for 2 years after we trained him, which, to be fair, if you train somebody, wants to stay with you for 2 years, that's all you can ask, right? Everything else after that's a bonus. But after 2 years, you've gotten your money back, right? So I always, you know, I hate to see them go, but I understand when they need to go, right? Harry was one of those lads. He stayed with me for 3 years. Richie stayed with me for 2 years. But Richie has his own place in Prescott. It's called Manic, fucking stunning shop, right? It's in, like, the standard of work for where it is. It's in fucking Prescott, for fuck's sake, right? Mm. But the standard of work is he's got Ginger Chris, who used to work for us. We trained him, right? Yep. He was fucking an amazing, one of the best shavers that's ever come through the business. There's another lad there, Baby Aaron, we call him. He came through us as well, but he's with Richie now as well. So there's three guys who used to work for us in this little shop in Prescott, and they're doing a standard of work there. Mm. It's fucking just off the charts.
But that's kind of what you want, though, isn't it? If you're trained up, you want to be, you know, you've seen that you were trained to do what you're doing and then you've achieved something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the great payback, isn't it? That you see these guys.
It's the great payback once they stay with you long enough. Yeah, Don't get me wrong. I've had fellas who are putting the shop floor the next fucking day to walk out the door. I would happily see them starve to death.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And you know what? What's different is we've, like, obviously you put three people your apprenticeships. Like, my aim, my goal is always for them to stay as long as possible.
Of course it is.
So I make it almost impossible for them not to leave, just make it so inviting, and the incentive is always there. If they want to earn money, they've got to work, but they can earn decent money. Mm-hmm. Their percentages are really, really high. There's an opportunity to earn more. They can do extra days. And I was just trying to count, as you were speaking, I was just trying to think in my head, I'm sure there's seven people that have either, and we've only lost two, that went off to go and do their own thing or work for one girl up, open up her own shop. And another guy went and worked with Reese, and they were put through their apprenticeships in the shop, and the other five work for us now. So they were there young. We've got Jack, who's just passed through. We've got Anna, who's just literally just started her apprenticeship, and it's about molding them because they're so young and malleable. Yeah. And you know, before you know it, that 17-year-old is 20. And you look at Freddie now, oh my God, he's 18, 19. He started cutting hair when he was 14. He was sending me pictures in lockdown, cutting his dad's hair. I was critiquing him, saying, you know, that this is great. Work on this, work on that. He started coming into the shop. Observe, watch, do this. And I said, you have to pass through your time. You have to be an apprentice. Mm. You have to train. You have to clean. You have to look after everyone. He just didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. He didn't. And do you know what? He's the only exception that I've ever made where I've said, right, I can make you self-employed right now. He went, do it. And the little fucker pulled it off. So I just got someone, we got a new apprentice, we got Jack. He was waiting in the wings. I did a talk at Oldham College where I used to work, and he was on the front row. He listened to, out of 30 people, there was four, five maybe, that listened to everything I said. He didn't move, didn't bat an eyelid, and afterwards he asked questions. Everyone else had to, I almost beat a kid up because he was vaping, he was swearing, they were all on the phones. No one gave a shit about me being there. Mm-hmm. Jack, on the other hand, he was in tune with what I was saying, listening to everything. And then he messaged me afterwards to say thank you. And there was there any chance that he could do some free work, you know, just volunteer work? Yes, you can, mate. Your attitude's fantastic. So he finished his level two and I pulled him out of college. Said, you come back. This is what you do. He's in that transitional period now where he's probably 50% booked. When he gets paid a retainer, then he gets a percentage as well on top. So he's paying for himself right now. But he's having to do all that, but only because he's not got the same experience as Freddie, even though Freddie's so much younger. But Freddie's doing work where I can look at and think that's better than what I can do.
Wow. But is that following a program that you guys have, or is this off the top of your head? Do you use the BCCCs?
There is no program.
There isn't.
There's technique is technique, whatever way you look at it. Whatever way you fucking dress it up and whatever box you want to fucking put it in. There's three layers. There's three graduations. There's three lines.
Yeah.
Fucking it.
That's simple. It.
And then there's skin, right? We don't really bother with lines so much in men's hair, but, you know, graduation layering. And skin is clipper work, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Whatever, again, it, after that comes down to taste. You either can or you can't fucking do it, right? And you can talk all the nonsense you want. Well, this is how I do it. There is no I, right? There's taste. As I said to you before, you learn how to cut hair, you've got to earn your taste level. Now, your taste level comes from what you bring in around you, the finished product you want to sell. Yeah. Do you want to be, like, my particular type of work is very, very soft. So I like my work to be very, very soft, you know, so that's like softer outlines, you know, softer internals, but again, strength within the shape, right?
Yeah.
That's what I said to you the last time we spoke, like my two favorite eras, were the 50s and the 80s, right? And you said you couldn't get any more different. But you actually, when you think about it, you know, the 50s were all sharp and clean and the whole lot, right? But even the haircuts in the 80s, whereas they were longer, they were still strong. They were very, very strong. Technically, they were very, very strong,
yeah,
right?
Technically, definitely.
So that's the difference, yeah. Right? And that's the type of work I lean towards, right? Whereas other people can be more contemporary, you know, and that's, again, that's a taste of it. And that's where you get your apprentice from. That's it. So we get an apprentice coming in, all of a sudden, like, he'd sit down in the chair, he'd get his first haircut, and he'd say, oh, can I get a drop fade and a chicken scratch? He won't be working for me on Monday. Yeah. He just won't. Because I say, no, listen, this place isn't for you, bud. And that's why I always say to these young fellas, come in first. Sit around. Just fucking hang out. So see the work we do. Is that the work you want to do? Fine.
Yeah.
Come on board. If it's not the work you want to do, you're never going to be the barber you want to be working for me.
No.
I'd send him to you or I'd send him to fucking
but
somewhere
you kind
else.
But you've brought them up through your shops. I mean, I didn't realise how committed you'd been to the college.
Yeah.
So you've got an experience that I haven't got a clue. I've always struggled personally with sending our apprentices through their MVQs and
he takes
so on.
They don't do college.
First thing I do, like poor Ryan now, when he came, he's been in college for a year. Young fella couldn't comb hair properly.
Heartbreaking, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And this is what I'm saying, and this is why, like,
why is that going so wrong?
Because the government don't give a shit, bud. We're only dogs to them. We're dogs. Mm. Hairdressers, makeup artists, nail technicians, beauticians, we're dogs.
But how are these courses still being paid for?
Because it's an easy way, it's free to these people. I have a good friend and she's just finished working at a college and she completely understands like they're losing their integrity because they're just getting people in. These young kids, they get like an education maintenance allowance. It's not that anymore, but you know, they're getting help. They're getting the courses for free. And obviously the government are funding it. So anyone can go. People who don't want to be there, people who don't want to go and get a job, people who want just a little bit of further education and think, you know what, I'll become a barber, I'll become a hairdresser.
That looks like fun. Like, looks the amount like of times I hear, oh God, I wanted to be a hairdresser, I wanted to be a barber because I went in, it was a laugh, it wasn't like work. Listen, if it's not like work, it's not fucking work.
Yeah.
But you know, like you say, you've got people who've spent a whole year of their life. They've gone in at 16, 17.
Government.
They spent a whole year not getting anywhere.
No.
And I guess when they then turn up at your shops and meet you, to still want to do it. I mean, that's the thing that always impresses me, that there are still people out there, a huge amount of people that are coming into the industry.
What's mental is they go to college, they think they're going to learn the world, and they think they're going to come out and go straight into a shop, but they don't have enough people or the manpower. So the people that are educators are there, they get paid shit, the hours are shit, and you've got a class of 30 people, and you're trying to go. I mean, I said the other day, something I'd not heard for a long time was I was doing a class in Brazil, and we were talking about guidelines following this line. And there was a couple of people that said, like, I don't know where my guideline is. And I remember 30 people saying that when we were doing a fucking uniform layer at college, to the point where I was like, one, I can't be here anymore. And two, if I'm going to teach, I mean, that was a good platform for me because I think I'll always look back and see the positive and the fact that I liked being at the college at the time. It was even better when I left because what they did was they asked me to represent them at, I think it was Pro Hair. It was one of the trade shows in Manchester to try and advertise people to come to the college and this is what you can learn from this person. I went, I got seen by a few people. Chris Foster was one of them. And he said, you know, we want you to come back to Pro Hair or we want you to do this show because you can educate on stage. You can speak to people on stage. You've got good engagement and we want you to come back. Did another show, snowballed, another show. Left the college because I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to be freelance. Started educating freelance and was just, that was it then. Once you'd done one, you'd covered it on social media. People think, well, I want that education. I'll do that again. And I want more. And I think that is where, when you have that kind of creative freedom to teach people however you want, it's like you said before about having a structure of how you teach someone. When they can hold a comb right, then we'll add the scissors. Mm-hmm. When they can comb hair in a certain way, then we'll add the next section pattern. When we do this, it's like it goes from one process to the next. Once they can crawl, then they can start walking.
Dale always said to me, and this has always stuck with me, right? When you're teaching, right, you can't say you're going to learn this, right? This is what I'm going to show you. And you're going to try to take it in, because you might necessarily learn, right? So you can't say, what I'm going to teach you, right? And you're going to learn this. You mightn't fucking learn it, right? Because I'll tell you why you mightn't learn it. Because the way the brain works is, right, you can only deliver information one level above where your subject is at.
Yep.
Right? So if I came into a room, right, and I was doing a demo, and I said, right, lads, today you're going to learn how to do a fucking graduated basic, right? So which is, you know, it's diagonal back graduation, nice and round, blah, 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 blah. You're going to learn that. But what if they can only layer? Yeah. What if they don't understand the mechanics of graduation, right? What if they don't understand balance? What happens if they don't understand kinetics of the body or where you stand, your hand follows? What if they, don't already understand that, then me telling them they're going to learn something, they're not going to. So what they're going to do, they're going to see me doing something, and then in their fucking head, they're going to replicate what they've seen me do at their level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which means they've learned fuck all. Oh,
yeah.
Right? So this goes down to, you can't tell anyone they're going to learn nothing. Right? You got to say, this is what I'm going to show you. Right? Mm. And this is the level you're going to be, the level that you're at right now. This is what I expect you to be. And Dale always talks about in the door, out the door. Right? If you leave the door a little bit better than you came in the door, it's been a good day. Yeah. Right? So it goes down to, this is why I speak about him so strongly as an educator. He's a true educator because he understands it. He's from the old Sassoon stock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's done it the hard way. He worked for Lee Stafford. He worked for Sassoon for a long, long time. And he was always kind of a little bit against the grain, as in, like, you know, his work is very, very raw, which is funny because his personality is quite soft and his work is very, very hard. Mm. So, like, you know, people talk about my personality being really, really hard, but my work is quite soft. It's completely different, right? But this is where I think we're lost as an industry. And I love cutting hair, but I genuinely hate the industry. I fucking despise it because what it's done to the craft that I love so much, it's fucking bastardized it. It has turned it into a joke.
But has this started with the colleges?
Yes.
Is this starting with the fact that colleges get paid? I mean, when I first started training apprentices, we were paid by government, and then we paid out of that to have them assessed for their city and guilds. I know I'm back that. You say you're a dinosaur, mate. I'm pre. But, you know, when did this change? Why is it so wrong? And how the fuck are you meant to teach 30, 16-year-olds how to cut hair at one go? I don't even understand that.
The colleges always existed. What happened is they've made it too easy to open a shop, right? Yeah. They've made it too easy to open a shop invisibly. They've made it too easy to make a decent living in the back pocket, right? Mm-hmm. For people to be able to hold on to staff for enough time to train them properly, right? So it's kind of like, how do you fucking go fishing in a river when there's 1,000 fishing rods around you? Yeah. You're going to go and you're going to look for something else, right? Mm. And that's what's happening, right? We're everyone is looking for another way to make a few quid, right? And this is where the influencer thing comes in. So social media has become a business, which again, it's fine. But the people with influence and popularity are two different things, right?
Definitely.
I'm not very popular. Nor do I think I'm an influencer. I don't think I'm influenced. I don't think I influence people. I think people either look at me, they have two opinions. I'm either a fucking cunt or I'm actually sound.
Right?
Either way, it doesn't bother me.
I'll add to that though. You're either sound and done well for yourself, or you're a cunt and you've done well for yourself. You've done well for yourself because you've grafted. So whether whether they like you or not,
makes no difference to me.
But we have got to a point where the industry has never had so many. Like you say, it's a well stocked riverbank. Yeah, and I've never known so many people wanting to come into the industry. Courses that are oversold and overbooked and run and run and run. But the barbershops that I'm speaking to, one in five are maybe running apprentices, if that.
Because
they're not training. So how do we get that quality back when we have a handful of barbers shops that are training, that are making apprentices properly?
I think it is going to turn. I do. Like, I hope to God it is. Mm. And, you know, we said earlier on, it's last man standing. But something has to give, man. You know, something has to give, because it's getting ridiculous.
There needs to be some resistance on the amount that can open. There needs to be some kind of, I wouldn't say licensing or anything like that. I would say, like, if you want to learn how to drive, then you've got to do some kind of test. You've got to go through this process, and then
I think you should have to be able to prove that you can be solvent.
Exactly.
I think, right, where are you going, right? Where's the rent? You know what I mean? There's a lot of fucking rogue landlords too, fucking renting off the books, right? Small units, right? But you should, like, personal income is personal income, right? Declare what you want.
Yep.
But business income, as in, right? You have a shop front, rates, VAT, blah, 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 right? You have to show every year that you're solvent, right? Now, whatever tax inspector is out there who walks into a shop, and if he actually fucking believes that any barbershop on any fucking high street in this fucking country is turning over less than 90 grand a year, he needs to be taken outside and fucking shot. And someone else giving him his fucking job, because it's a fucking joke.
All you'd have to do is knock on the door, open it and say,
but the same fucking cunt who says that he's not earning fucking 90 grand a year is driving around in a fucking top of range Audi.
Yeah.
You fucking kidding me?
You knock on the door, you open it and you say, what card machine do you use? We don't use one. All right, okay, we'll see you in a couple of days.
See you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. That's it. Because they're the ones that are saturating the industry. And do you know what? There's enough heads to go around, but some people deserve to be there and some people fucking don't.
This is the thing. There's enough heads. Like, there's enough heads.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone has hair or a beard or a face. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's not about limiting the amount of shops, right? I mean, but limit the amount of bad shops. Do you know what I mean? Get rid of, like, standardize it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, say, whatever about the haircut. But, like, you know, prove that you can run a business. Prove that your business is actually a fucking reputable business. If you can do that, then knock yourself out. It's like licensing the States.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're never going to do it, by the way.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
They're never going to do it. So, like, you know, we are banging our heads against the wall here. All we can do is hope that it is eventually going to change. But as I said to you before, I'm happy with my lot. As in, like, I know I'm never going to be a millionaire. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Bar fucking the product line fucking skyrockets. But even that's probably not likely. Do you know what I mean? It's going to do okay and I'll make a living from it. But, you know, We got to understand, there's too many people out there, can you become a six-figure barber?
Yeah, okay. Everyone's like, I mean, that's the thing at the moment. Everyone's monetizing the trade. Is a trade. Completely agree with that. And everyone's monetizing it rather than forgetting why you do it.
Yeah.
Like, but I love cutting hair. Like, love cutting hair.
No, and I still do. I'm still behind a chair. Absolutely best bit of my day.
But even 100 grand a year, once it goes through the wash, it's 52.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So, even if you fucking just pay your fucking tax at 100,000, you're still only making 52,000 a year.
Yeah.
Which decent money, by the way. Yeah. But you know what I mean? But that's before you fucking pay for a glass of water. You know, so these, and then you have all these fucking whiteboard mats. And, well, you know, if you do 6 haircuts a day, and fucking, you're going to make, that's what comes in, you silly cunt.
Yeah.
It's what goes out will give you your fucking wages. Because somebody just shakes someone and stop fucking talking about money in. Talk about money out and what's left over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The best client is the one that says, like, how many clients do you think you'll do a day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see it in the brain.
I can see, like, I sometimes feel like saying, do you want my calculator? Do you want my calculator?
But it's funny, so who's counting going, heads in a restaurant.
How many chairs are in here?
Just give me a second. How many guys have you got working for you?
Mm. I'm like, do me a favor, Anna, can you just pass me those little brown envelopes that are over there, please? And then the little documents there from our accountant and his bills and everything else that comes through. And the EDF or Eon energy bill, that, like, everything is coming out.
If I fucking told you about it, I pay my accountants, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean? Listen. We're blue in the fucking face. This is the thing that, like, I just hope someday all of this nonsense stops, right? Mm. And it just becomes a job again.
Yeah.
Because I remember when it was a job and it was fun. And it was not necessarily fun is the wrong thing to say, but we came to work.
Yeah.
Right? And we went home, and you know what? My brother is university educated. He's got an amazing job, works for a big American company. He makes a fucking fortune, right? But he's university educated. He deserves to make a fucking fortune, right? And, you know, it's a different world. He works for Stryker, which are a huge American company. He's been with them 30 years. And, like, you know, if you want to earn 150,000, 200,000 pounds a year plus, go to fucking university or fucking do something else. Because I can tell you now, you're never going to make that type of money cutting hair ever. Ever. Unless you have multiple shops, unless you're in the world like fucking the likes of John Vial and all these fucking superstar hairdressers who get like £1,000 a haircut or whatever they tell the charge. But, you know, Daniel Galvin Jr. and all these people. These are like top of the fucking range hairdressers who spent fucking 30, 40 years.
Yeah, decades. Yeah.
Decades. You know, John, right? These fellas, like, they spent decades being taught by the best that ever done it. Mm. They have like come up around the likes.
You know, you're talking about that 1%. They're, you know, in every area, you know, the amount of kids I went to school with who wanted to be Premiership footballers.
Exactly.
In every single playground, you know, it may be around the 1% of those that actually do manage
anywhere. Yeah,
you know, so every industry will always have the top. We always talk about the hedge funder who's on a 30 million bonus. He's the 1% of the hedge funders. There's an awful lot of guys going to hedge fund who just go into work and they make a nice living, and there's nothing That's wrong it. With going into work and making a nice living. The other side of things that does seem to get overblown at the moment, and I'd love to hear what both of you go at it, is hairdressers and barbers improving as they go rather than the apprenticeships. Mm. And maybe that's where we should focus back onto that. If you've been, you know, if you've been doing it, and you know, there are quite a lot of hairdressers I've met that have switched over to barbering, and honestly, amongst the best barbers I've met.
Yeah, I'll agree there.
You know, and equally, barbers that have wanted to gain more experience or are wanting to go and learn. And so I think having been reasonably negative about education and external education, if you know you've got weaknesses in your toolbox, what do you think of the courses that are out there and the way people should gain more education?
I think, again, you go back to go forward. I think if the education was stronger in the first place, there'd be less need for the improve. But improving, again, it's essential. It's a part of it. Mm. But again, it's doing the right type of improving. I think, you know, we all know there's a handful of people out there who I would deem capable enough to call themselves top educators who I would recommend and who I wouldn't mind spending with. Like, just for example, like, I was supposed to go to Trevor Sorby a couple of weeks ago to do a razor course with Roy Forsyth, but obviously Trevor passed away, and the course was postponed till January. Like, I'm 30 years in. I'm not too confident with a razor, right? I can use them, you know what I mean? But I'm not confident to teach it to my lads, right? So in order for me to actually bring, razor work is getting popular now because there's a lot more shattered work coming along. So I'm not confident with it. Mm. I could wing it.
It's like the John Robert Greene theory of mastery, is that you know that you're getting close to a mastered kind of area of a subject when you can teach it to someone.
Yeah.
And all that does is reinforce it with you. I said it yesterday. It's like the best way to reinforce your subject of a knowledge of a subject. Is to teach it.
Yeah. And you figure out stuff you don't even know yourself when you're teaching.
I do it all the time. And every single time I do any kind of teaching, I will see the movement of the hair and I'll notice something. Mm. I'll do something with a tool and think, I didn't realize it's done that. And I'll say, actually, I just realized that you can do this with this tool. You can do that. So that does just reinforce it with you. So I've been looking at some few different courses recently. I want to revive everything that I've ever done. And I think that once you spend so much time building a brand, working on it, doing everything behind the scenes. Today was my day off. I sat down on my dining room table with my laptop for 4 hours and I did invoices, emails, paid bills, sent loads of messages back out. And then last thing I thought was, right, I want to get back into like hair, enjoying it again. And like you said before about if you can make it that far, you'd have to be fucking an absolute miracle to make it that good right now. You could do it 20, 30 years ago because it wasn't saturated enough. Mm. But in order to make it now, you've got to be like the influencer that we know is like the most stereotypical, like on TikTok. Yep. You have to know the algorithm out your ass. You have to have a team of people creating that content. It's got to have hooks. That's a completely different ballgame. That's a different industry.
Yeah. Like, for me, the influence, as Alan said, your influence in your community and in your clientele. Like, I want nothing more than busy shops. That's it. Yeah. That's all I want. Yeah. And people to buy my products. Right? Going back to, again, the improving, right? If you learn properly in the first place, improving is enjoyable. Because you're going, and you are going to take away something from it. Because you'll understand, actually, you know what? Just you want to tighten up in a certain area. Because, I mean, there is no such thing as advanced. Advanced doesn't exist. Mm. It's just getting better at the basics, right? Because basic is basic. Basic, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It means that it's simple. Mm. And simple doesn't necessarily make it or mean that it's easy, right? A simple shape or a simple line or a simple this or a simple there, that's fucking difficult to do.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why, going back to the work from the 80s, that's why I love it so much, because they were simple. But my God, they were tight. They were strong. And that's the word. Like, I always use the word strong when I teach, you know, and you know, to get across the, you know, men's shapes, it's a strong shape. Everything. I like a strong shape, but I like a soft outline, right? And we talk about improving. And when you improve, it kind of gives you a little shot in the arm again. Mm. You know what I mean? This is why I still practice away myself sometimes. Mm. And when you're teaching, the next thing, I sometimes say something and I go, fuck it, lads. I actually sound like I know what I'm talking about here. I hope someone recorded that. I'm going to use that, you know. And sometimes you do surprise yourself to how much you actually know, because I think everyone has that kind of inner doubt in themselves. I certainly do. I've got terrible imposter syndrome, have done in everything I've ever done in my life, right? Although I do mask it probably well with certain aspects of my personality. But, you know, I always feel like I could be better. You know, and I look at people's work all the time. And I think the one thing I will always say, I've never actually said anything negative about anybody's work on social media, right? I've said it in private, of course I have. You know what I mean? But it's come up in conversation, right? But, you know, I'm not that nasty type of fucking cunt to hide behind a social media screen. If I have a problem with you, you'll know about it, right? And if I don't have a problem with you, then, you know, you won't know about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's, but...
No, but I think it does come down to you knowing, you know, either knowing or determining to kind of know. I mean, I get what you say very much. Every now and again, I do find that I'll just get a day where I'm like, actually, I haven't played with this skill in a long time. Yeah. I'm going to wake it up. I'm going to dust that buck out of the drawer and I'm going to use it. And I thoroughly enjoy it when you kind of bring up something that you don't. It's very easy to fall into some habits and do what you're doing. We do... Now coming to the end of part two, I'd just like to kind of round through about online and in-person training. Do you think there's a place for both? Do you think there's a difference?
I think at levels. I think you have to be a certain level before online training is any good.
I think you have to know like your basics, your fundamentals. They've got to be fucking mastered completely. I think physical training is better than anything. Yeah. Kinesthetic learning, listening to an instruction, watching the demonstration, and then physically doing it yourself. There's nothing that beats that. Kinesthetic learning is the best way to learn. Watching someone, shadowing them, listening to how it's done, explaining the motions, the body positions, angles, everything, one-to-one, intimate. You're never going to get any better than that. Mm. You aren't going to get better than that, but I think the resources you've got now to learn is unbelievable. Like the avenues, they're free. Everything's free. Somebody messaged me and said that her little brother is wants to learn barbering. I said, go on YouTube, Google this, Google my name, Google Hayden Cassidy, Google Charles Gray, Google Josh LaMonica. There's absolutely tons of free videos out there in which you can learn for nothing. Then if you want to go into... like obviously more in depth, there are loads of people out there now. It's extortionate. It's extremely expensive to get on these digital courses and you get access, but you know, mentally, is it giving you the tools to actually do any better? I think you will improve. Freddie did a lot online and I know a lot of people that have been online. It's not having the same effect as what physical training is, but think that if people want to learn and they want to get good, they've got to do it the long way. Because how many times do you know of people that they come in the industry, they do 1 year and they want their own shop, they want to be on fucking a grand a week, they want X, Y, and Z, and they haven't even done their legwork yet, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, I will probably disagree in parts with that. I don't think, unless you are already at a level, I think online learning is no good. Because it doesn't teach you what you need to know, as in soft skills, how to behave. Like online learning in a dark room or in a fucking bright room, whatever, with nobody around you, you're not teaching that touch and feel about it, that intimate part of being a barber where you kind of welcome people. You your soft skills, which I think are far more important than the hard skills. Mm-hmm. Hard skills, anyone can learn them if the information is delivered in the proper way. But I think unless you are already a capable haircutter, I don't think online learning is good. I don't think so. That's, again, that's an opinion, and it's just based on evidence I've had with people come into my shops over the years.
Yeah.
I think at a certain level, online learning is really, really good, and there's some really good online educators out there. Alan mentioned a few of them there. But I think you have to know your onions first.
Yeah. And do you think hard skills, soft skills, it's really interesting. There does seem to be a real drop-off in service skills, which it doesn't seem to be being taught anywhere. Yeah, there seems to be an abundance of the hard skills. This is how you cut.
This is why apprenticeships are important, because you learn. I guarantee you, when you walked in here tonight, who was the first person to greet you?
Oh, no, it's Diamond, your long lad. He
can't cut hair yet. No. You understand? So by the time he can cut hair,
he's got this kid
gets tips. He gets tips every day of the fucking week from customers.
How old
every
is he?
Every day. He's 18. He looks about 12.
I was going to say.
He gets tips every day of the week. Mm. He is so fucking attentive. Yeah. He's unbelievable.
And that's him learning all those soft skills now, how to service. Yeah, he does haircuts.
He was well able when he came in now. He walked in here one day. Like, I wasn't even looking for an apprenticeship or an apprentice. He came in there during the summer and he goes, "How are you looking for any apprentices?" I said, "Geez, buddy, I'm not actually." "Oh, no problem. Thank you. My name is Ryan. I'll leave you my CV here." And he shook my hand the whole lot and he walked out and I said, "You know what? Fuck it. Run after him."
Yeah.
I got one of the boys to run down the road after him. I said, "Come back."
Yeah.
I said, "Right, fucking hell, bud. You're after getting yourself a job." I said, "Go home. Say thanks to your mother and your father," I said, "for the way you were reared." You start Monday.
That's brilliant. We had something very similar. We had Kobe, who just started. She was just off on maternity leave. She comes back during this week, so I'm dead excited to have her back. And she just started, and it was a case of some people want to go to college, and it was a case of with Kobe. I can't remember. It was years and years ago. I can't remember the scenario, and it was a case of I'm going to go to college because I want the qualification. That's fine. And at the time, we were getting funding for her. So I think in the 2 years, I think we got £1,500 a year. 2 years. I know. But it was a little contribution. And I thought, you know what? Fuck it. We'll have a fast track through that anyway. We'll take the money. We'll pay her. She will get the money from the government. And before you know it, she'll be self-employed anyway.
Yeah.
When she's ready.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had Gracie. She walked in the door. Bolshy as fuck. Literally, it was her attitude. It's the way that she walked in. She asked to speak to me. She said, "Can I have a word in private?" "Yeah, absolutely." And she just explained who she was, what she was like, what she wants to do, what she can offer. And I thought, we've just taken on an apprentice. And I said to Reece, I want her there.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to be in. And he just went, "Mate, you do whatever." Now she works next to me, doing the same thing as Freddie. Churning out haircuts that are miles better than mine. Her customer service skills are unbelievable.
The amount of guys working for me who are better than me, it's astonishing.
That's so nice. I mean, I've trained so many of my team and there's oftentimes I just stand to get a moment to just stop and look at their finished work.
I say it to my lads all the time. I said, "You're better than me." I said, "I just sell it better."
Yeah.
And that's a fact. You know what I mean?
That was fantastic, boys. Can we try and find an optimistic, positive finisher? What's the industry going to look like in the next 5 years? Can we have a spitball view in your crystal balls?
If we have a nice little cleanup of the things, I mean, like, just as an example, there's a street. I'm just off a high street. And on the high street, you've got one barbershop. Its name is, I won't say its name. A unit across the road came up. They duplicated that exact same shop. They're Middle Eastern. I won't say they're Turkish because I don't think they are. And I think Turkish barbers get a bad rap.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I'm not going to call them Turkish barbers.
They're not. The Turkish barbers are fucking
brilliant.
They're really good. Turkish, authentic Turkish barbers are some of the best barbers you'll ever see.
Yeah.
It's the people trading off the name.
But do you think that's Turkish what barber. Needs to change? Is that who it's going to be? We're going to see the high street? We're going to see some closed down shops?
I mean, I don't want anyone to lose business. And anyone that is a barber, I respect because I know how hard it is to be one. I think it's just, they just have to be legitimate.
Yeah.
Legitimacy is the one.
I think make it an even playing field.
Yeah.
Right? An even playing field. And I think an even playing field, it will encourage healthy competition is fine. And there's nothing wrong with it. Because, as Alan said, there's enough heads out there, but you think about it.
I mean, that's the bit, boys, and I think that's the really nice thing, because I am going to find an optimistic point.
But
view.
There is
enough heads for all of us.
For all of us.
But the industry, I think, I've got to agree with you, the industry needs to take a good hard look at pricing itself.
I think there has to be... There has to be a minimum price,
I think.
You know, I mean, forget about all these fucking idiots charging 100 quid for a man's haircut, right? Fucking stupid. No man's haircut is worth 100 quid. Fuck off, right? But there is...
It shouldn't be one worth a fiver.
Do what?
There shouldn't be one worth a tenner or whatever.
No, but it should be like a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, everyone can have their own little swing in between there. Mm. But I think a standard haircut... anywhere should be in around 40, 42 pounds. I think that's a fair price. And I think no matter where you are then, right, you can pay your rent, you can pay your staff. If you have enough customers, now mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think this nonsense of, I want to charge 100 quid. If you want to charge 100 quid a haircut, do so, right? But don't go around talking about how people should be paying. Throwing it all over social media then as well.
It's like
no man should be paying 100 pounds for a haircut. Mm. I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, oh, he's a celebrity.
Well, let's hope we don't have to wait 5 years for £42 and £45 minimum haircut. Yeah. That would be
I charge that in London, but that's it. But I wish I could charge it up here.
No, I agree. Prices, I think, comes back every conversation I've had, and we've got to get courageous enough to charge. Buddy, thank you so
much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so
much.
Really
absolute
lovely.
Pleasure.
Guys, that's been the Noble Barber.
Thank you, boy.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.